So I'm here with Dimi Dimitriou, organizer of the Owls America's 2004 meetup in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Dimi.
Sorry, 2004.
2024. Dimi, what are you drinking in this beautiful pub at 4 whatever o'clock it is in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia?
I am I'm partaking in a dark stout called Guinness, and it is very refreshing.
How would you characterize that stout? Is it a little bit roasted?
Yeah. Tough on the nose, but very refreshing.
Dimi's a little bit of a novice to the what are you drinking on Owls America. I would call it a heavily noted stout with beautiful kind of aromas. There's a probably about half an inch of head on the top of that stout. It looks amazing, to be perfectly honest, Dimi.
It looks amazing and it tastes amazing, and that's all I know.
For the record, I'm drinking a dishwasher IPA, as just been described by Dimi. Otherwise known as a Galaxy hopped IPA from Propeller Brewing Company, which is a local brewery, right, Dimi?
It is, yes. It is a local brewery, and it's actually a very good IPA. I normally drink that, but I just, that's it.
Allegedly, it's also back in Halifax, which is the other side of the ocean, as far as we're concerned, because they just came on a ferry. So, Dimi, cheers to you. Cheers to Owls Americas. Cheers to Owls Away 2024.
Amazing, mate. What a great day.
Brilliant.
Cheers, everybody.
Farewell to Nova Scotia, you sea-bound coast. Let your mountains dark and dreary be. For when I am far away on the briny ocean tossed, will you ever heave a sigh or a wish for me? The sun was setting in the west, the birds were singing on every tree, all nature seemed inclined for to rest, but still there was no rest for me. Scotia, you sea-bound coast, let your mountains dark and dreary be. For when I am far away on the briny ocean tossed, will you ever heave a sigh or a wish for me? I grieve to leave my native land, I grieve to leave my comrades all, and my bonnie, bonnie lassie that I love so well. Farewell to Nova Scotia, you sea-bound coast, let your mountains dark and dreary be. For when I am far away on the briny ocean toss, may you ever heave a sigh or a wish for me.
And then there was one here on the Owls Americas, Sheffield Wednesday opinion with an American accent. One match to go, 1 point needed, one probably pretty long podcast. I'm your host in Salt Lake City, Utah, Jeffrey Paternostro. I'm keeping it simple this week and short. We got a lot to cover. I went to the grocery store today to pick up some stuff for dinner. Realized I was low on beer. Went to the refrigerator case and pulled out a six-pack on sale of the Bohemian Brewery, Salt Lake City's oldest microbrew. They're seasonal, which is a Kolsch, Köln-style pale lager. I've had their stuff before. They do mostly, German, Austrian, Czech styles. They're all pretty good. Not usually the first thing I reach for, but always a welcome addition. It's quite a nice Kolsch for the rather crisp weather we've had today. Always my first choice, though, when hosting a Sheffield Wednesday podcast in New England. It's our New England Owl, Justin DeSorger. Justin, what are you drinking?
Hey, Jeff. After this weekend, I'm back to behaving, as you can imagine. But I won't lie, I was tempted, and I figured let's round this season out with a similar style. And I went back to Maine Beer Company's Peeper Ale. It's crisp, it's simple. I only had to buy one, so once that's gone, I have no actual booze in my house to tempt me, which is where I need to be after this weekend.
And it's not just Justin and I this week. We have a lot to recap. I was not there for most of it, although I'm apparently the only person that remembers anything from the match. But we'll start in New Jersey. Patty Jones. Patty, what are you drinking?
Evening, Jeff. Good to be back. I was interested to see if the other boys on the call after Halifax were drinking again, because I have got a water, but I did have a beer 5 minutes ago. I just finished it. I had a strawberry jams from Brick City Brewing, which is in 10 minutes up the road from me in New Jersey. Really good kind of like strawberry flavored IPA. I might grab another one by the end of the record, but I needed a little bit of a palate cleanser.
And we couldn't recap the OA away in Halifax without our host, and it is Dimmy Dimitriou. Dimmy, what are you drinking?
How are you, Jeff? Yeah, I'm drinking a Lake City cider, the crisp apple, just because it brought back so many good memories at a weekend.
That place was awesome. It's such a good. Actually, I was drinking beer and like Guinness. Actually, my first three drinks at that bar. I was trying to recap. Was a Bloody Mary. This is at 10 a.m. on the 11 a.m. on the Saturday. Bloody Mary followed by a Cocoa Porter. I don't know. No idea why I decided to go from Bloody Mary to Cocoa Porter to a Stella. Right, and after that three combo, I was feeling quite sick. And then.
And you drank the rest of the day after that.
Yeah. But then about 7 p.m., we had the foresight to go to a cider brewery, that Lake City brewery.
It's just called a cidery.
Okay, cidery. The cidery. We went to a cidery. Yeah. And it was just such a lovely change of pace to have a refreshing cider rather than whatever else I've been drinking this past 12 hours previous.
11 a.m. Bloody Mary.
I found this on the web for what is the pace of refreshing cider rather than drinking. Check it out.
So not Siri, cidery, cidery, cidery.
Apparently, you can check them out too at lakecitycider.ca.
On this show, we will recap the West Bromwich game, the surrounding festivities of the West Bromwich game. We'll cover the Wednesday news and preview one more match away to Sunderland at the weekend. An early start for all of us, but especially me. But first, we'll go back in time to Saturday in West Brom. A comprehensive 3-0 win over West Brom at home. Wednesday's first win against a team in the top six all year. I believe they beat Hull, who are currently seventh. I don't know what I expected going into this game. Like when Justin and I talked about it last week, it was kind of like, well, they need to win. But given, you know, as good as their home form was, you thought maybe they could get a result here. Like, I did not expect this, especially the first, you know, 70 minutes or so.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the only one that watched the game. Should I just keep going?
From my understanding and rewatching of the highlights, the crowd was amazing. And this is where you get that sound that we seem to get every handful of years, and you can think of particular games, but when that stadium is full and pleased, it's a lot. You know, we had the lower end of Leppings Lane filled out. That was a phenomenal crowd, and the team apparently responded with great effort.
I was saying for the first 20 minutes, to everyone that would listen, is that the West Brom just didn't seem to turn up. They were backing off us. They were really sitting back. They didn't have much energy to them. I was like, we can probably thump them here. Like, yeah, they really did not seem bothered about it.
They wanted to play on the counter, I guess, but they really were having issues with Wednesday's press, I think. Especially early on, like towards the end of the first half, they started to like figure things out. And I think it was a moment, maybe like 34th, 35th minute. I'm like, all right, just get the halftime 1-0. This is getting a little shaky. And like John Pearson pointed this out several times on the broadcast that they were getting those corners from the right side were just not being dealt with as convincingly as you'd want. They didn't really get a clear-cut chance. Beetle had to make a couple saves, but pretty routine ones all in all. But it did feel a little, I don't know, a little edgy. And then they just came out in the second half, and that was it. They decided that this game was only going to go one way. And it was funny to see, because how many times have we seen, you know, Wednesday, you know, play a fairly close game. Maybe they're up 1-0, maybe it's 0-0, maybe it's 1-1, and just get absolutely, you know, tactically handed to them in the first 15 minutes of the second half when the other manager goes in and makes some changes. And that just did not happen this time. You can look up and down the team sheet. There was a lot of 8 out of 10 performances. I thought Musaba had one of his best games of the season. Box had one of his best games of the season. Tishan Bernard, you know, he's been in and out of the squad because of injury the last, you know, second half of the season, really. And you don't hear his name all that often, but he's just always there. Like, he's just so positionally aware. Especially like just a complete center back, that he does make a huge difference when he's actually in the team. When the sheet came out with Iorfa in the middle of the center back three, I'm like, I guess we'll see how this is going to go. But, you know, out until, you know, the last 20 minutes when West Brom was just basically putting pedal to the metal, like, again, they didn't really offer as much as you'd expect a team that's not only in a playoff spot, but trying to hold on to a playoff spot against, you know, a team in a relegation scrap.
Yeah, look, I want to go back to Musaba, right? Because he was outstanding. I've personally commented on his poor first touch at times. He seemed a little bit haphazard, a little bit directionless. But he was a man on a mission on Saturday. He was, every single time he had opportunity, he wanted the ball in front of him and to just take people on. And that it was the second goal, right? That he kind of just carried it all the way up the pitch, and then it fell to
through a crowd of people.
Fell to Ogbo's right.
Yeah, they scored this exact same. I don't think it was Musaba that time. Might have been Gassama. They scored this exact same goal, and I was in the same spot, like waiting. Is it penalty? And I just hear John Pearson screaming, and I realize the ball has gone in the net.
Yeah,
because you're looking back at the ref, and then Ogbo, just that finish too was just absolutely, you know, just under the crossbar, like as hard as you could possibly put your lasers through it, just unstoppable.
Yeah, I'm so glad he got that too, because he's been what, a little bit dry the last seven or eight games, was it, without a goal?
I thought he had a great game too. Just again doing some of the dirty work up front and stuff like that.
He's been doing the dirty work every single week, but not getting any much service to actually put the ball in the back of the net. But yeah, when it falls to him, it's very rarely kind of like fluffs his chances, really, does it?
Ogbo this season, and again on Saturday, has been the player that I thought Ashley Fletcher would be. I think that's what we signed Ashley Fletcher for, but Ogbo's turned around and actually done it, right? Like, I think that's the difference. And I thought first half, Musaba didn't run as much as, you know, he didn't get on the ball as much as we would have liked. But second half, I think the plan was give him the ball, let him run at them, and put the willies up them, you know, and it definitely worked. I thought we looked a lot more comfortable second half. I'll be honest, didn't watch the whole game. It was a lot of chatting, but yeah, second half we looked way. I thought the second half we were a different team. Bit nervy in the first from at bits, but I mean Musaba and Ogbo and Windass. That front three. You know, if we can keep them together for next season, I'm sure we'll talk about that later or maybe next week. I think it's huge. You know, so, but yeah, I was, oh man, what a game. I'll be honest, I was still nervous at 88 minutes. You know,
I mean, they absolutely battered them too. Like,
throw it away, but
a Beetle made more like top saves like in one match than you'd expect from like your keeper all season, basically. I saw they had something like 2.2 XG, and you can see why, right? There are a lot of point blank headers he had to get down for, just some awkward long range shots, you know, stuff that could sneak in. And he's very springy. He's like a cat. Like, he's just kind of like throw himself. Like, he's long.
He's very long, like a cat
long.
Too.
Yeah, he's like lanky.
He's a stretchy man.
Yeah.
But you're right. Everybody turned up on Saturday, and it was clear there was only one team that wanted it. Yeah. I thought what was interesting was even before the game was the West Brom manager Corberan brought that piece of paper, and he was like trying to tell the media, he's like, "We're not playing a bottom of the table team here.
Yeah,
like Danny's come in, like we're seventh, they're eighth. So this is a top of the table clash, even though the table doesn't reflect that, right? Which I thought was very interesting. So I'll be honest, seeing that made me a bit nervous because he was like, they're going to be really up for this. They're going to be well prepared, but they just didn't. Yeah, whether it was the crowd, I think that definitely had a part to play. They looked nervous. They looked, you know, like, I'm not sure. You know what I mean? So
yeah, they've got some real players, and Corberan's obviously a well-respected and pretty experienced manager in this league at this point. So yeah, I mean, I figured it would be a tough one to try to. Yeah, it was a party by the end of it, really.
Absolutely. Well, I think you're right, Demi. I think it is a combination of things, right? I think the crowd was a factor, and Jeff, you mentioned earlier too, our press, right? Like, yeah. I think when we're playing at the tempo that we want to play on the front foot, the way that Roel wants us to play, as we mentioned, with some of the attacking weapons we have, like that's a frustrating team to play against. If you look at that second goal, which again, I watched back, that whole thing, it's kind of Sunderland is trying, West Brom's trying to play it out, and Bannon gets a piece of it, pressing into space, taking away the passing lane, and it's immediately ball to Musaba, straight run up the field. I mean, it's difficult to deal with when you're dealing with numbers and players all over. We saw that a couple of weeks ago with both our goals coming out of aggressive pressing. That's when we play the way that we do, as Demi just mentioned, through Carlos Corberan saying, you know, despite how shit our roster is, we're a pretty good team in this league.
I did enjoy the, Windass, who got some stick last year for never celebrating goals. Like, he celebrated that one even more than the Wembley one. Like, full shirt off, kissing the badge. I know it might be his last home match. Obviously, he's out of contract, as a lot of players are. But it was just a very funny juxtaposition of him not really celebrating stuff last year to another big goal in a Wednesday shirt for him.
And team the last one. It was nice to see some kind of emotion from Josh Windass. He's basically just like dead behind the eyes most of the time, isn't he? stone cold killer. I'm really happy to see that. And I think it was a little bit kind of like, yeah, look, I think he tends to focus on the negative, Josh Windass, from his interviews, from his like little asides that he does. He'll focus on the fans that give him negative comments rather than the majority of fans that like applaud him and worship him and want him to do well. So I think for him to do that, maybe
he does seem like a footballer that's, you know, this kind of motivated by spite, right? And that's, yeah, he's hardly the only one. Like, sometimes athletes are like that, right? It's got to be whether it's the sort of the American football cliche of like nobody believed in us or things like that. But it's like, it's got to be something. He's got to play with a little bit of an edge, right? That's got to be something that's driving him. Yeah.
Sorry, Demi, go on.
I was going to say, it was the same with Musaba in the first goal. He took his shirt off.
Yeah.
I think it's 100% Jesus.
Yeah, what did it say?
I think he said 100% Jesus. But I mean, you know, he just showed a lot of passion, and I think the guys went out and they felt they had something to prove against the top of the table, like a playoff team, to say, look, don't count us out. We can do this. And I think one of the things that's evident is when, and I may be completely out to lunch here, but when we have a week to prepare for a game, we do a lot better than when we're playing Saturday, Tuesday, right? When we have less time to prepare for the opposition.
Some of it's probably preparation, but I think a lot of it's just, it's an old squad, and the way that Roel wants them to play, they don't have recovery time. Like, and it's tougher to, you know, ask even Barry Bannon or, you know, but like Will Vaux or, Liam Palmer, don't talk about players that are in their 30s, like to do that much running. The recovery time, I think, does help. You know, whatever, if it's, you know, JD Gassama, who's a teenager, he's just going to run and run and run, but, or Katamatari or someone like that. But I think there is something that it's just, you know, this schedule grinds you down regardless. I think the other thing too is you never know how a team's going to respond to a relegation scrap, right? Like, Rotherham never got out of, like, reverse, basically, not even first gear. you know, Huddersfield, you know, since they beat Wednesday, really have just kind of not been able to get out of their own way. We've seen it when, you know, Plymouth is suddenly in a lot of trouble going into this weekend as well. And look, Wednesday have had their ups and downs, but again, they've played like a top half of the table team really since Danny Roll took over. Look, there's been bad away results certainly in there, but they've just never, it's never spiraled for them, right? They have a really tough schedule, I think, either January, February, where they had a really bad run of games. You know, they lost a couple, it was like two losses and a draw or something, but they've both always had a response, but also never gotten down on themselves, I think, enough. Even after really bad results, like that Huddersfield game, they just get back out. You know, 1-1 draw against Stoke, all of a sudden stuff turns out, you know, just come right back out and beat Blackburn, and they've always been in. Like, look, you've only got to do that a few times to get 50 points, and they've done it enough, and they've got one more job to do. Certainly, I don't want to, you know, play down what they have to do. And so someone posted there's 27 permutations of results this weekend, and only one of them sees Wednesday relegated. I'm like, yeah, well, don't tell a Wednesday fan that, because
that's the one.
That's the one. They're gonna be the man.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, basically.
Still time to Wednesday it all up.
Yeah.
I think that the team togetherness as well, like, really came across. Like, it's as good, if not better, than the playoffs last season. Like, after the Peterborough first leg, like, there's just the togetherness of the squad, and you know, and they've really kind of battened down the hatches, especially with all the Chancery stuff going on in the background, and there's been a lot of noise, and I think they've just kind of kept themselves to themselves almost, and they seem really together as well right now. They're up for the fight, like, and that I felt that came across as well, like, just in the celebrations and everything, right? So, which is nice to see.
Well, we've also seen Roll hasn't been afraid to make lineup changes or call people out, if not by name, publicly call people out when he doesn't think the effort's there. So people who aren't on board, he's making it get on board, or if you know, go away. He's really put his foot down, and he's obviously been able to not just motivate players, but help them improve and do. I mean, we know what a jewel we have. You know, I will obviously talk after this week, you know, about what that looks like going forward. But, you know, for right now, that game Saturday, as far as I understand, was just such a great example of everything that Danny Roll has brought to this club, and a demonstration of what a good manager he is.
We're here at OA Away in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Jeff has told me off not to come out of this meetup without getting any audio. So thankfully, I found two native Halifax, Nova Scotians, Nick and Jerry, father and son. And we've got a quick chat for the podcast. So guys, this is after the game's finished. We won 3-0 against West Brom. Amazing performance, good day. Justin's just joined us too.
I'm late to everything, Patty.
Justin missed most of the game. Jerry, well, first of all, welcome. Thanks for coming to Owls Americas. How did you get into Sheffield Wednesday?
Well, my dad was born in Sheffield, and he was a Wednesday fan. He's not with us anymore, but he was a big Wednesday fan, of course, growing up in Sheffield. Actually, he was born within spitting distance of Bran Lane. While his brother was a big Blades fan, Dad was a Wednesday fan. He decided to go the other way. So he was all his life a big Wednesday fan, so that got passed on to me, of course. And now I pass it on to my son, Nick. And we follow the team and watch all the games that we can.
So were you born in England, Jerry?
No, I was born in Newfoundland. We're actually from Newfoundland. We moved to Nova Scotia close to 20 years ago now. So we're
Not native Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Not native to Nova Scotia, but not far away. We're from Newfoundland.
Okay, cool. So what brought your dad over from Sheffield to Newfoundland?
My mom. He met my mom, and then they got married. They lived in Sheffield for a year or so, and then they moved back here. That would have been in the 1950s, and he settled down, got his engineering degree here in Canada, and I guess from there just lived life here. But we made several regular trips to Sheffield for me when I was a kid, every couple of years. So seen a couple of Wednesday games and brought watching Wednesday. My first memory of it is, I was born in 61, but in 66, there wasn't a lot of coverage for soccer back then, or football back in, but my dad said he was sitting on going through TV, and there was only two channels back then, but I think it was one of them was carrying the FA Cup final, and it was Everton and Wednesday. Wednesday weren't lucky enough to win, but that was his first timing.
So that was in Newfoundland, you might get?
Yeah.
FA Cup, 1966.
66.
Wow.
And of course, then any time Sheffield came on, we'd watch it. Wasn't as much back then, because we didn't have all the streaming and the what was available. But, you know, when it was on, whenever they were playing, the last one I can remember watching with my dad would have been the 93 FA Cup final replay. It was disappointing. But, you know, if you're a Wednesday fan, we watched what we could, but it wasn't easy back then. Now it's a lot easier with iFollow and anything else. Right?
So you guys are watching all season, right, on iFollow. When Nick was saying, you guys watch regularly. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Random old school question. I didn't realize you'd been there that long. Do you? What was the uncovered old cop like? I mean, that's when I see pictures of that, that's the most stunning thing.
It's been a long time for me. The last time I would have been, I'm 62 now, so the last time I would have been there would have been, it was in my early 20s. So at that time, of course, it was before the Hillsborough incident, and it was all stand-up. So
right.
I remember it, but it's a vague memory. Between the age and probably maybe having a beer or two, it's a vague memory. I do remember the game being Coventry and then Wednesday. Back then it would have been Division One.
Yeah.
Right? So it's vague, but yeah, it was certainly an experience just to be in Hillsborough and enjoy the game, right, with the crowd. Definitely a different experience, and something, if you haven't been there, you want to experience, right? If you have a chance and you're in Sheffield, just going to Hillsborough is an experience in itself. My son has never been, he's been in the, we went there a few years ago for a holiday. He's been in the stadium, but they weren't playing at the time, so he's got to see the stadium, but not actually.
Sounds like a poorly planned holiday.
Well, unfortunately.
You gotta do it around the schedule.
Unfortunately, I have a wife and a daughter, and planning it around
the schedule. Hey, they can be fans too. I forced my daughter into it. So
I mean, growing up, clearly, this is like a third generational thing, I'm sure, before that to you guys.
Awesome.
So, Nick had a great story about how he found out about the Owls Americas meetup. It was like, you didn't know that this was happening until, you weren't part of the Owls Americas before this meetup in Nova Scotia, right? So how did you find out this was happening in your own town? What was your reaction to that?
Well, I came across, there was a random suggested Google article, because Google loves to pry in your private information these days. But for once, it helped out in a positive way. So I came across the Owls America meetup. And as soon as I saw it, I thought, I've never met another Owls fan besides my dad, so may as well take the opportunity to go meet some, have a few drinks, and watch the match, because at that point, it looked like it would be an important one in the season, and lo and behold, it was the ultimate match of the season so far, the tipping point, hopefully, for some safety. And so yeah, when I came across it, it was a no-brainer to RSVP and clear the schedule to come out and meet as many people as we could and see the match.
How was it? How did it meet up your expectations? I mean,
it was everything you could hope for. Ogbo scoring was a cherry on top. The 3-0 win was a cherry on top. But great atmosphere, great match, great people. And going to take on some souvenirs. That's what Jamie says.
Jamie, give us a song. Jamie, give us a song. Why you got Radio Sheffield hat on? Jamie from New Orleans.
To build a football team, he called Chris Powell and he got Pavida on loan.
Ripper up on their back.
Thank you, Jamie.
Jamie's invented a new song. We're trying to get off the ground.
Hey, Jamie's the actual New York Owl. Don't put him down, buddy.
The New Orleans Owl. That's awesome. Thanks, guys. Look, we'll wrap it up in 7 minutes. Get back to some drink, have a chat. So thanks for spending some time with us. Hopefully you'll join us at the Halifax game later on too.
Great.
And thanks for coming along, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks. And for all the Owl fans up there, we're staying up.
Hey. All right, that's the match. I will let you three handle the rest of the Saturday.
Well, we've alluded to it a few times. I wanted Justin to explain where the hell he was doing the match on Saturday. He traveled all the way to Halifax, Nova Scotia. All the way from Boston to Nova Scotia with 36 Wednesday fans, and Justin misses the actual football game.
He wasn't even last man standing on Friday night either.
I might have been. It was Graham or me were the last two up, and I won't go into the details of that. It was a late and ugly night, and I met some very strange individuals who, let's just say, were afraid of any local constabulary that appeared near them. But we had a great time Friday. I will explain myself briefly in that I was up till about 3:30 in the morning on Friday and was staying by myself about a 10-minute walk from the bar. And as people know, I'm fairly hard of hearing. And obviously I was completely shit-faced. So the beauty was I woke up and my very first thought was, where the fuck am I? And my second thought was, oh my God, the game, what time is it? It was 12:15. And my third thought was, what's the score? And when I was able to fumble my phone and see that it was 2-0, it was such a relief to be able to just go, okay, now I can function. And then there's a couple voicemails from Jamie, text from Patty, a couple people. And I don't know how much you guys know. You saw I had I really call him like an acquaintance, an internet friend of mine from old Red Sox fan message boarding days, who I've stayed in touch with, who lived in Halifax, told me he was going to come to the game. The poor bastard showed up at the bar and I wasn't around. So I got a picture from Jamie of like him and this guy, you know, this poor guy waited there for me. But yeah, I rolled in the 88th minute. Deamy led the cheers for me, which I appreciated.
And, Justin from Boston, he comes when he wants.
That was it. And you know what? I had enough time to get a Guinness before the final whistle, and had a good time.
I just know when I was checking the WhatsApp group and seeing all the photos and the videos, it was great. Then at a certain point, I just saw a picture of people on a boat, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Oh, that boat was amazing.
That was not planned. Yeah, there was consternation and that was touted as a possibility. But we managed to get most of the people on the boat. Some people stayed behind. But the people that stayed behind tended to fall asleep in their hotel rooms and never appear again until midnight that night.
Yeah, I heard about that one too, yeah.
Which was pretty soft. I want to give Patty all the credit in the world about this boat thing, because we got on the boat and it was a short drive. And we had an amazing experience with colloquially a Newfie, not the dog, a resident of those islands, which some people had never met somebody from Newfoundland. If you haven't, you're always in for a treat. Let's just say he was handing out Busch Ices that he was chugging and getting yelled at by the boat's captain, who he knew by name.
Shane.
Shane.
Captain comes down from the boat and says, you stop handing out beer. And it's me with like one kind of beer in my hand, just to hide me a little bit. And this guy goes, Shane, let me be.
And then chugs his beer. Chugs a Busch Ice. to prove to Shane he wasn't drinking anymore. But we go to an Irish pub and we're drinking. The last ferry is like 25 minutes later. And I'm just in this mindset. I think we all were in this mindset of like, well, we can have one beer real quick to say we went to Dartmouth, and then we got to get the fuck back on the ferry. And everybody was uptight except Patty. Patty's like, what are you talking about? Well, I'm going, Patty, we're going to miss the last ferry. He goes, is there a bridge? I'm like, well, there is a bridge. He's like, do we have cars here? And I'm like, well, we do have cars here. He's like, we're not taking the ferry. Right. I was like, you know what? You're absolutely right. And then we proceeded to eat and have a couple beers, go to the cidery, and made a really nice time of it, thanks to Patty's very wise, laid-back attitude about getting around.
We should note that despite Justin being up until 3:30 and missing the match, he was on Owls America's media duty at the Halifax Wanderers game.
Yeah, apparently.
I was going to say, I love how we skipped over the 3 hours of the live football match that Justin did.
Well, yeah, after the Wednesday game, so Dimmy sorted out his fantastic seats at the Halifax Wanderers game, which is a Canadian Premier League game, their first home game of the season. I was super impressed by that turnout, Dimmy, weren't you? Like, what's like 6,000 people there, was it something like that?
I was at 8, I think.
It 8?
8,000 sellout, yeah.
Do you want to describe our suite that you got for us?
It can only be described as a sea can. with the sides cut out, wooden doors put in, and we were literally pitch level right at the corner flag. But what was really fun about that was the English and Yvonne, who came on the train from Montreal, they met some Ottawa fans on the train over. So the Ottawa fans were in the bar watching the Wednesday game with us. And then poor old Nelson, I think he must have been sat on his own. I don't know where the rest of the Ottawa guys were, but he was in the main stand on the side of the pitch.
Close enough he could hear us, though.
He was very close that he could hear us, yeah. So we were giving him some grief during the game, which was a lot of fun. And my personal favourite was halftime. They had they have Timbit Soccer, which is just like, it was young girls that were about probably between 5 and 10 years old, and they all kind of lined up in the corner. Halifax County, I think it was. Yeah. So we were singing for them a little bit, and I'll be honest, the girls looked a little bit scared, but the parents were absolutely loving it.
Can I recount this too? Because I was scared at first too. Because I was watching these girls line up to go at halftime. I was telling my wife a story earlier on. And then I hear from behind me, Dimmy just go, "Hey, who are you lot?" why is he shouting that in this gruff kind of angry way? And this, like, one of the girls looked terrified. This adult turns around and goes, "Oh, we're the Halifax County girls team." And you're like, "Great." And he just launches into this song saying, "County, we love you. We love you." And the two girls' faces like turn from shock fear to like, oh my god, they're actually being nice and like supporting us. So we all started like singing for these girls, and it turned into a lovely thing. But first, like, why is Dimmy hassling these 7-year-olds?
Okay, and we got found by Alan from Chapeltown.
Oh yeah, that's a great story.
Andy from Chapeltown.
Yeah. Gary. So at halftime, I went for a little walk, and we went to get some food at halftime, and I was wearing my winter shirt, obviously. And again, there's about 25-30 of us at this point in the suite in the corner flag. As I was getting some food after time, this guy comes up to me and goes, "Oh, is that a Wednesday shirt?" I'm wearing like the Asda 91 cup shirt. I was like, yeah. And he goes, "Oh, I'm from Chapeltown, Sheffield." I was like, "Oh, what?" I was like, "That's awesome." He goes, "I'm a Wednesday fan." I was like, "That's amazing." It's like, "Did you know there's like 25-30 of us over in that corner?" He's like, "What?" I heard some noise from that car. I didn't know what was going on. So I was like, "If you're Wednesday fan, like, you've got to come with us. You've got to come with me and see this." So he's like, just chatting to me. Like, I don't think really sunk in what I said to him. So he's just chatting to me about Wednesday and stuff like that. I was like, "Oh, blah, blah." Yeah, we've been to watch the match in Halifax. If you'd known, obviously, you'd have come watched it with us. He's like, "I watched it on my phone, on my own." So anyway, we watched it. This again, the sea container, shipping container, whatever you want to call it, our suite. It just basically opened the door, and this guy called Andy walks through the shipping container. He's faced with 25 Wednesday fans in his hometown. He's been in for like 15 years, and his jaw just drops. And then these guys turn around and goes, "Oh, by the way, I found another Wednesday fan." And they all went, "Whoa!" give him the best welcome. This poor guy, a little tear in his eye. He was like, what on earth are you guys doing here? It was
Andy amazing. From Chapeltown. Andy from Chapeltown. Andy. Although Jamie was calling him Gary all day.
Yeah, I don't think he minded that much. He was just very happy to find us. But yeah, now we've got his phone number, and Jimmy will be, I'm sure, in touch for any upcoming Halifax local meetups.
Or you reached out to him and Peter as well. Big shout out to Peter, who lives downtown Halifax. His mate sent him the link from the club website and was like, did you know this is going on? He's like, absolutely not. And credit to Peter.
Our outreach is so good, Paddy.
yeah, it was amazing. But he was the only person that
was the king of socials after all.
On the Friday night at the lower deck, he brought his Eventbrite ticket like printed and cut out. I was like, oh man, that's awesome, thanks. and then there was Nick and Jerry rocked up on a Saturday morning as well to Niche, who live about an hour outside of Halifax in a place called the Valley, so Kentville is where they're from, and like wine country in Nova Scotia, where all the Tidal Bay comes from. They rocked up as well. So, and had another friend called Paul and Vicky Bates, who came as well. So it was, turns out there's like about 8 Wednesday fans in Halifax. that I didn't know.
We did not know about until we
did not know about before this weekend. So it's been, that's just the cherry on top, I think. But yeah, I've already reached out to Nick and Andy and Peter. And we're gonna probably not for this weekend, but we're gonna definitely sort some meetups out for next weekend for next season. So yeah,
it's awesome. Did you get Gary's number?
yeah, I got Andy's number. Yeah,
I just the best line from him is when he first stopped. You're right, Patty. He literally was tearing up, but he just kind of looks around. He goes, I don't fucking believe it. The 25 of us standing there. Absolutely brilliant.
How was the lobster?
I missed lobster night. So Jimmy was there Thursday night. I had lobster roll, which was okay. I had lobster roll, but y'all's lobster looked amazing, Jimmy, on Thursday night.
Yeah, the lobster was good. Went to, so we met with Greg and Katie and Danny. Rocked up, the England boys. And Yvonne, their train was unfortunately delayed, so they didn't make it, but we met them for a drink afterwards at the Old Triangle, another Irish bar. But no, the lobster was really good. My girlfriend Tara was teaching Danny how to eat a lobster properly, and it was messy, but it was fun.
By the way, just a little shout out to, I mean, if no one's ever been or heard of Halifax, any of our listeners in England maybe, I hadn't really heard of it until Demi mentioned it. It's a beautiful town, beautiful city. On the water, super lively. I mean, talk about it happening downtown. Like the Irish pub we were in on Saturday night. There's a reservation about going to an Irish bar in Canada, but my word, that was a happening place. Everything we needed was there. We had some live music. We had plenty of like people like dancing, singing. Just
they had the Bruins game.
Just because the Bruins game on. a lax enough bounces to let us wobble for at least now before kicking us out. Just generally just good vibes everywhere we went. I mean, like I always say to people after these events, it's remarkable we get 30 to 40 plus people in these cities drinking heavily, and it goes without incident, and we make more friends than we do enemies every single time. And it's just the testament to the group we've got, testament to Sheffield Wednesday fans in general, that more often than not we're good people, we respect the city we're going to, and we do a good showing.
Cheers.
Now we'll look for one more good showing from the club as we turn our attention to the Wednesday news and a match against Sutherland right after this.
Farewell to Nova Scotia, you sea-bound coast, and your mountains dark and dreary beach. For when I am far away on the briny ocean toss, may you ever heave a sigh or a wish for me. The drums do beat and the wars do alarm, my captain calls, I must obey. So farewell, farewell to Nova Scotia's charms, for it's early in the morning, I'll be far, far away.
All right, so my name is Matt Stickland, and I am one of the hosts of the Wanderer Grounds podcast, which if you are one of my listeners, you know, but I'm holding someone else's microphone as well, and I'm sure we'll get to that later. Anyways, I'm here with two supporters of Sheffield Wednesday, who are here in a box, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves because I'm going to forget their names when I throw to this clip. So I have one of you here.
Yeah, hi, my name's Dimitri. I'm a Sheffield Wednesday fan. I live in Halifax. And have arranged this meetup of Wednesday fans from all over the continental United States, Canada, and we've even got all the Americas, and someone's even come up from Bermuda as well. So we're just having a great time. Watched the Wednesday game this morning, and now we've come and watched the Wanderers.
Where did you watch the Wednesday game this morning?
I watched the Wednesday game at Niche Lounge. So
they play championship game. Whatever, that's not important. Anyways, and sorry, the other voice you heard was.
My name's Justin DeSorger. I'm a Sheffield Wednesday fan from Boston, Massachusetts. I live on Cape Cod now. I've been to all of the national meetups, now international, thanks to Dimi. We've been getting it done, so it's always a great time.
Perfect. And so the questions I like to ask people are, when did you come to Halifax, and how long are you staying, and what are you doing tonight?
So I moved to Halifax in the end of 2016. I've been here for...
No, that was a question for you. I don't care about people who live here.
So basically, we've got about 30 people that have come from all over US. So New York, New Orleans, Boston, Bermuda. We've got five guys flown over from England. One girl has come over from Germany. All just to meet up today. Switzerland. Okay. Oof. Tough. And they've come for the weekend, basically. So
perfect. And so you guys are used to watching a team not play so great as a Wednesday supporter. Sorry, that's low ball. Anyways, so can you tell me what you thought of the Wanderers' performance today?
It's been a blast to watch. I live in Boston. We have an MLS team. I don't really care for watching MLS because of the whole promotion relegation, but it's a decent brand of football, but I was very excited to get our seats at field level. It's a little different, right? You can't necessarily see the tactical aspects of the game when you watch it on TV or up in the stands, but you get an idea of how talented these players are. And I know I told some people I was coming to this game, they were like, Canadian Premier League. And I'm like, these are elite athletes, right? These are elite athletes doing elite things. So it's been great to be here and watch this.
Perfect. And how about you? What did you think of the Wanderers' performance today? What do you think of our team? Like, what do you think our team's trying to do here based on this? Can you tell what style we're playing and stuff?
Honestly, not from today, just because we were at ground level, so you can't really see a lot of what's going on. But man, I've been a Wanderers fan. I've come to a couple of games over the last couple of seasons, and it's always a good time, man. Like, the fact that we can get almost 8,000 people to a game of this level is unbelievable to me. Like, you would never get this in England. Like, and the stadium is just so much fun.
And so, where are you taking these guys tonight?
So we're going to get a ferry across to Dartmouth. We're going to go on a boat. We're going to go on a boat, baby, absolutely. And then we're gonna hit a couple of breweries tonight and just a bit of a pub crawl. We're not really sure where we're going to end up, but what will be, right? So
we can watch the Bruins game.
Bruins game. Oh yeah, don't worry. We got a Bruins fan on council. And so the only other thing I normally ask here is how is your season going so far? But you're not an Ottawa supporter, and I'm a huge Bristol City fan, and I talk about Bristol all the time on our podcast.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
And people, I think, hate that a little bit. But anyways, how has your season gone so far as a Sheffield Wednesday fan, and why should people watch the championship?
So I'll answer the second question first. The championship is legitimately, and if people don't understand this, is legitimately a top 10 league in the world. The talent level, the money, the coaching, the setups, the size of the clubs, it is a massive, massive league. It's also absolutely batshit bananas, and you never know, like QPR beating Leeds yesterday. The first question, our season started literally. We had the worst start to a championship or English Football League season ever by any team, ever. 120 years or whatever it is. But thanks to Magic Man Danny Roll, we have clawed our way back up. And a huge 3-0 win today over West Brom has us on the cusp of staying up. Some things need to happen, but we control our own destiny. So this is huge. Well, we don't even need it, but that would be glorious. If we get 1 point, we're guaranteed. So we are over the moon today to have. Yeah, it's and that's the not a single one of us here is positive about what will happen next week, because that's what we do as Wednesday fans. But.
Perfect. And so, just enjoy yourselves tonight over on the dark side, and just be aware that the ferry is going to shut down at 6 due to staffing shortages.
6 p.m.?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, we're back out. That may change.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, no, go to Dartmouth. Dartmouth is phenomenal, but just know that you're not taking the ferry home. They'll have a shuttle on, though. Anyways, enjoy your night in Halifax there, boys.
All right, we are back at OA Away. It's still the end of the game, 3-0 win, and we have with us now Paul and Vicky Bates, who live in Halifax or the area.
We live in Fall River, between the Halifax city centre and the airport, so you'd have driven right past our house when on your way down there.
Awesome. Now you've been in Halifax for us. That's not an original Halifax accent you got there, is it?
No, and it's not a Sheffield accent either. I was in the Air Force for 12 years. Came out of the Air Force in 89, settled down in Sheffield, bought the only place I could afford a house was Sheffield, if I'm honest, and I roomed with a guy who was a pig, he was a blade. And listen to the story. He took me down to Bramall Lane, and I'll be honest, I hated it. I really didn't feel at home. I've been posted all over the world and have always gone to a local football ground to support the local team. I hated Sheffield United.
How old were you at the time when you were?
I'd have been 26, okay. 27.
That was the chip buddy sandwich.
And, yeah, exactly. Long story short, I had a relationship with a lady in whose brother was an owl. Took me to Hillsborough and I fell in love with the place.
Awesome.
Automatically. And became a season ticket holder in 92, 93.
Good season.
And good time.
Great times. Loved it. So, that's how I came an owl.
Awesome.
And then my son, who's was born and bred in Sheffield, he moved here to Halifax 12 years ago. 11 years ago, he introduced me to my now wife, who has to put up with me and tolerate the life of living with a Wednesdayite.
So what brought you to like this area? What brought you over here?
It was, we were going backwards and forwards between the UK and Canada, and I've got a job that I can work anywhere in the world, and I lost the battle, basically, and yeah. Really enjoy Halifax.
It's a beautiful place already. I've been there like 24 hours. I love it. It's great. So, Vicky, you went to Hillsborough for the first time recently.
Two weeks ago. Yeah.
What game was that?
Stoke.
So that was a draw, was it?
Yes, it was.
So, did you enjoy the experience yourself?
I really did. It was a couple of things that I noticed. One was how much faster the game goes in person than it does on the TV. But second, my quote of the day, as Paul says, was, I don't know how you put yourself through this year over year.
Oh my God.
I really don't.
It ages you. Yeah. In Paul 25.
I know our paper round as well, Mike. But I would say that we parked at the top of Halifax Road, yeah. Where the old White Horse pub used to be. We parked there.
But on purpose, right? I'll have it home.
Yeah. And we basically, I said, you've got to have a proper Sheffield chip butty. We took her in the Today's Catch, the fish and chip the top there. And her words, without swearing, were, how effing big is that?
Yeah, I had no idea they were bigger than my head.
I mean, even from like North America, that's a crazy thing to say. Yeah. I thought it was big, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought your first words were going to be, fuck the pigs.
that was just before the chip.
That's all good. Have you enjoyed today? Have you had a good experience?
Today has been brilliant. It's great to experience such an important game with fellow owls so many of you, and I'm absolutely in awe of the following that we've got across North America that guys have
all
made the
Americas.
Effort.
All the Americas. I don't want to diss our Argentinian allies.
But actually, the fact you've all made the effort to come to Halifax is very humbling. I'm very proud. And Vicky actually said it. You know, you've come at a great time. It's spring, the sun's shining, the beer's flowing. And
yes, we
can't wait for the next meeting in New Orleans because we're signed up for the next one in New Orleans.
Well, New Orleans will always be a special place
that,
for
that would
Orleans.
Be better than Florida, Patty. I'm just saying.
There's a raging argument for our podcast listeners about where the next Away Away is going to be. Still to be determined.
Well,
be
we can do Florida. Particularly if it's in January or February.
Not Tampa.
Right, Justin is now on record as saying not Tampa.
I'm officially on
record. Well, guys, appreciate you coming. It's such a nice meeting you all.
Super cool.
We'll go off to the Wanderers match now, I think.
We will do.
But see you guys later.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome back. It's time for some Wednesday news. And the Wednesday news is Wednesday need 1 point at the weekend against Sunderland. That's the news. Take it away, Justin.
Well, they need 1 point if they're going to control their own destiny, which I appreciate, or we certainly root for. Sunderland is the very definition of on the beach when we saw
are
them
there any
last.
Beaches in some rocky shores? I don't know. What's up in the northeast of England? What's the nearest beach
that's
to gotta Sunderland?
It's got to be rocky shores. I'd imagine penguins.
Hmm. Right, I'm going to try and attempt to say which one it is between Tyne and Tees. Side, they always get them two mixed
they're
up.
They're on their Weir side.
Weir, damn it! I got this yeah. third one.
So I didn't get it either of them.
That was Justin's correcting me my UK geography. That's why I don't come on this podcast anymore.
We saw them in Hillsborough. One of Munoz's second to last game, I believe. They scored in the 5th minute, the 8th minute, and the 30th minute to smash us 3-0. That was a clear just beating. Of course, our manager then was Tony Mowbray, which that has changed since then. We'll get to that. So they are on that proverbial beach. They're 15th. They're 16 wins, 8 draws, 21 losses with a 0 goal difference. We are just 2. If we'd taken 2 of our losses and made them wins, we'd have the same record as them. Granted, the goal difference is very different. Very mid-table, 14th at home. They're 10-2-10 with a +2. Their form, they're only 21st. 1 win, 3 draws, 2 losses in their last 6, -5. On the goal difference, we are 6th. We have 3 wins, 2 draws, and only 1 loss in our last 6, and we are a +5. So, granted, 3-0 at home helps with that. So, I like that side of things. I think it's a team that has largely stopped caring, and I think we have everything to play for. Real brief run through of Sunderland history because we haven't seen them in a couple years. Pretty old club, you know, 1880s, won a lot of titles in the turn of the century. No, not the 2000s, the 1900s. A couple FA Cups, played in Roker Park, which is a pretty famous old park, for almost 100 years. The Taylor Report and everything that came out after that made them build the Stadium of Light, which we'll be going to on Saturday. And I am, at least as of a couple years ago, the new Spurs Stadium must have beaten that, although I haven't updated my notes. But it's the most, it was the most expensive stadium built in England since World War II. So Stadium of Light's supposed to be very nice. Either you guys ever been up there, Paddy, Demi?
Never been to the Stadium of Light, but I think it's similar to the Bowl that Leicester and Coventry and Derby and all that lot have, just slightly bigger, I believe. But similar.
Yeah, it's good sized. It's 42,000. It started out a little bigger. They are the Black Cats. Paddy referenced. They play in the Tyne Weir Derby against Newcastle, which ironically is dead even in the history of them playing. 156 times they've played, they're even up. We last saw them, they were in the Premier League as recently as the 16-17 season, had a double promotion down into League One, got their shit together, have a young, you know, I think like billionaire I don't know if he inherited it or he's a crypto guy, but he owns them now. And they've been on their way back up. People should remember them knocking us out of the playoffs a couple of years ago. A year they also won the Pizza Cup. So credit to them for that. So Tony Mowbray was their manager, and I thought was doing very well with them. They fired him on December 4th and hired Michael Beale from Rangers. He proceeded to have the shortest managerial range in the history of Sunderland Athletic Club, lasting 12 games. So they've since hired Mike Dodds, an assistant for the last handful of years, who got his start in Birmingham as an academy coach. They thought he'd work well with young players. They brought him in February 19th. He has 2 wins, 3 draws, and 7 losses. So ask me, Jeff, is that good? No, that is not good. Supposedly he's a nice guy, but his tactics aren't working. Very negative. Plays 4-1-4-1, but that's a defensive 4-1-4-1. And even at home seems to, you know, plays to keep the game tight and get a late strike on him. So this is a team with, you know, as we mentioned, nowhere to go. They're on the beach. They haven't been playing well. They know they've got an interim manager that they're not happy with. This feels like a good time to be playing Sunderland.
Yeah, it's one of those games that's weird, right? Because you'd hope that if the shoe were on the other foot, right, that if we were playing Hull and Plymouth was playing Sunderland or whatever, that Sunderland would put their best foot forward and try to, you know, play it out and, you know, try to influence the results of the season, right? You hope that, and, you know, if Wednesday was, if the shoe's on the other foot, right, if Wednesday were in 15th, would have been a much less stressful year. But if Wednesday were in 15th with nothing to play for, you'd still like them to, like, put in an effort, right? Like, yeah, maybe you play some younger players and things like that, but, or your backup keeper. Like, I don't know what kind of squad Sunderland's going to put out this year.
I think you roll the U14s out because you don't give a shit about the rest of the league.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping Sunderland does.
Yeah, it's just a weird, a very weird situation to be in, obviously. And like, Wednesday only got an allotment of like 2,700. You said it was 42,000 seat stadium. Wednesday only got an allotment of like 2,700. I don't know if they're going to fill it out. It's the last home game of the season. Maybe you go just to go. But it feels like it's going to be a really weird environment. This, like, look, they got to get a result. This feels like a game to me where if they get a goal in the first 10 minutes, they're going to score 6. But the longer it goes, you know, you could see them. They've had some bad away performances, or if something goes wrong and they give up a goal on a set piece early and get a little nervy. I don't know. I'm not going to, as good as they've been recently, I'm not going to be confident until it's over the line because I'm a Sheffield Wednesday fan.
I think as a Wednesday fan, it's a dangerous game, right? We like to play on the counter, and I don't think we're going to be able to counterattack them because they're not going to, they're going to sit back, right? So how do we perform when we have to take the upper hand? But it's also, like you say, 42,000, they're well, very, very well supported. They always bring a lot to Hillsborough. And that can work both for and against you, like you said. If they score early, get the crowd on their side, it's going to be a very, very tough day. But if we go out all guns blazing, score an early goal, the fans could turn on them real quick.
It could be like the Millwall game, right, where they score a couple goals early and they're leaving at halftime and booing. And I don't know. And like, I just, we talked as a player, right? It's like I'm 1 day away from Ibiza at this point. Just get me out of here.
Do you know what? I hate to sit on the fence. Anything could happen.
Yeah.
But I will happily take 0-0. Really boring.
So I have a weird feeling it's 1-1. I don't know. I've had it all week. I've had a weird feeling it's going to be 1-1. It's not going to be pleasant. But I think it's, look. Yeah. I don't even want to predict the other games. I'm not even going to look. I know what they are. Like, you can't, right? You can't go in there thinking like, okay, you know, Hull and Norwich are going to do what they need to do. Like, they should, but the one thing about the championship, we've had weeks, right, where the results have absolutely not broken Wednesday's way at all. Like, absolutely stunner results. You know, Plymouth just beat Leeds, so, yeah.
We'll be 3-0 at halftime. I don't know what you're worried about.
Yeah, that's sad.
3-0 up at halftime.
I love it.
Waltzing home.
Did you say there was water you were drinking?
I'm still drunk for the weekend. Yeah. But yeah, I have no worries about his game whatsoever. Mm. All my worries were
that's impressive.
Yeah.
Earlier,
I think, in the season. You know, definitely... what? I was speaking to a few people at the weekend. After we won 3-0, I think apart from Paddy, there was definitely an air of we're almost there, but the job is not done yet. Yeah. Like, it's not.
I think that's been true in the squad and the coaching staff too. I think they know they're not.
Mm-hmm. Well, Danny Rolls said he needs a point, but he's going for three because you can't go and play for a point. That's when you end up with zero, right? So
right. I just
I'm down. I'm actually closer to Paddy than you guys. I think the team feels the momentum, the form is so good right now. They've got players up front, you know, playing well, playing healthy. You know, even, you know, Jeff and I talked last week about, you know, some of these blown games that they had or chances that they could have had. The way that they've looked the last couple of days, last couple of games rather, they're finishing those chances. I'm not too worried about them.
Sounds like Pavetta will be on the bench at least. He's been back in training.
Which
this
would be
week,
nice.
So, yeah. I don't know what he can actually give, but it gives them something to think about, assuming they're not thinking about Ibiza.
Couple names of note for them. Jack Clark, people may remember from a couple of years ago. He's easily their most dangerous threat. He's an outside attacker, 15 goals, highest rated player by far. Center back pair, Dan Ballard, Luke O'Nine. We remember them from a couple of years ago. They've been together for a bit. They're pretty solid. They have, I didn't know, I thought he was at Birmingham. They must have sold him. They have Joe Bellingham, Jude's little brother.
Yeah.
He's 18, 7 goals and an assist, playing in the midfield, center midfield. Could probably be a little bit dangerous. And a few names you may remember from a couple of years ago when we played him, Alex Pritchard, Callum Stiles, and Bradley Dack, although Dack's got a thigh injury and is probably not going to rush to come back for a useless game like this. Then the one American connection on there is Lyndon Gooch, who actually is pretty good for them for a couple of years. He's 28 now and has made 2 appearances off the bench for a total of 8 minutes. So I do not expect to see Lyndon Gooch.
I was
although
surprised
maybe it's exactly the game we see Lyndon Gooch.
I was a little surprised to see Reach
because
he hadn't played much this year for West Brom at all. I don't know if he's been hurt or what, but.
Yeah, I obviously thought about that game in a little, you know, after the fact. So I was able to sort of look at the stats, then go back and watch the extended highlights. But it's pretty amazing when Reach came into that game, 55th minute, there were 4 changes and it just did not stop us or slow us down one bit. You know, they changed everything up and we still steamrolled them. And that's,
I don't expect
I'd like to see some of that Saturday.
Yeah, I don't expect to see. I think you're probably going to see the exact same squad you rolled out against West Brom Fitness. Assuming Fitness, I don't know who might be available in the back line. If like a Hecway will be healthy or available for selection by then or what. But, you know, I expect it was something pretty similar. And, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I don't know. It's just every fucking year, man. I can't get 1 year where they're 15th. Like literally the last 4 seasons have been Derby, Sunderland, Wembley, and Peterborough before Wembley, and now this. I give it 5:30 for this game.
I think we could use that. We could use that season. Just a nice casual mid-table finish. Have some fun.
So maybe a sleep in last day of the
round,
season.
FA Cup run, you know, something nice and enjoyable. Low key, not shitting my pants every day.
But that is extremely not the Wednesday way. It's been 2:45, I think. The Owls Americast, Sheffield Wednesday Opinion with American Accent. You can find us the internet at owlsamericas.com. Email the show at owlsamericas@gmail.com. We're going to put an out of office up after next week, so you might not get a very quick response. Find and follow us on Twitter at owlsamericas. Our podcast intro and bumpers, I Fell Wednesday, at Reverend the Makers, a podcast. Wherever you get podcasts, just search for the Owls Americast and you can listen or subscribe right there. Wherever you choose to, we hope that you rate and review the show. So more Wednesdays, find our ramblings. Patty is on Twitter at New York Owls. Patty, your favorite moment from Halifax 2004.
It's a very tricky one. One thing I haven't mentioned yet was an incident with a joint outside and Jamie had our New Orleans leader, which Justin also had the same joint and it was fine. But Jamie swore blind that there was something in that joint other than weed and was hallucinating slash seeing things in slow motion. And when people spoke to him,
hearing things in slow motion,
seeing things. He said that whenever someone spoke to him, the whole noise background faded into the background and it was just the person speaking really slowly at him. And it lasted for about an hour or so and he was pretty scared about it. But that was one of my like funny parts of it, just seeing Jamie freak out and then explain his whole experience the next day as well.
Well, at least no ambulances were called for this one.
No, Jamie can handle his drugs, apparently.
Justin is on Twitter at New England Owls. Justin, what was your favorite memory from Halifax 2024?
I mean, the whole thing's a great time. You know, Patty made the point earlier, just in general, how good just about everybody is. Like, we roll around and we make friends and we sing a lot and we're loud and we drink way too much, but we don't break things and we don't hurt people and we you know, leave with a positive memory. So that's always good. I'll be honest, I really enjoyed super smart move by me this year to copy some people from last year, but Sunday was awesome. We just kind of low-key spent the day, small group of us, including these guys, Yvonne and Jamie, and just wandering around the city. We went to this big citadel they have, this old fort, where I definitely got yelled at by security twice. but, you know, that was super picturesque, and we, you know, had some good food. We met up with some others. We went down to the docks. Like, we went to a cool brewery. Just, it was a real low-key, you know, fun recovery day. You know, it was a recovery day from a very long Saturday and spent with great company in a beautiful city. It really made my weekend. It was a great decision to not go back till Monday.
I want to make one correction to the thing I said earlier on, that we made no enemies. We made one enemy, and there was that security guard at the Citadel that Justin just mentioned, who was shouting at Justin nonstop to get off the slopes. get down! Justin is a climber, apparently.
The view was amazing.
Dimmy is on Twitter, at DJ Dimmy. Dimmy, what was your favorite moment from Halifax 2024?
You know what? I can't pick one moment. It was just such a great, great weekend. Thank you so much to everybody that made the effort to come up. And I'm sorry for those that missed it. What an ideal weekend. I think if I'd have written it, I couldn't have written any better. So obviously Wednesday winning 3-0, Huddersfield and Birmingham getting the draw, Plymouth losing, Pigs not only getting absolutely trashed, but relegated as well. The weather was just for the game. Everyone was in t-shirts. I had some toques made and gave those out on Friday night. No one needed them apart from a couple of people, but we won't talk about it. But just everything was just great. And you know, from Thursday night all the way through to Sunday evening, and even Monday morning, you know, it was just great to see everyone. Great to be together. And yeah, we're all Wednesday, aren't we?
I'm on Twitter at Jeff Paternostro. We'll see you back here one more time, at least for this season, next week. Let the mountains dark and dreary be, for when I am far away on the briny ocean toss, there you are.